Beautiful song, girls. Wow. Except I didn't know the one learned how to speak English, being from Alabama. I can't understand most of the grandkids. Can you understand your grandkids? They talk at 120 mile an hour with gusts up to 180. And my ears only hear at about 60. So, you know, I'm slow, the way it works. Matthew chapter 5, please. Look at Matthew. A year ago, I did something almost like I am going to do today. I want to share with you what I've labeled as man's heart. In chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, verse number 8, God really lays down the nautilus for us. And he says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I read that verse and I think to myself, who is going to get to see God? Because I find another verse in the book of Jeremiah that says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things." And then he says these two words, "and deeply wicked." Questions ask, who can know it? The heart. God says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." But at the same time, we find that our hearts are anything but pure. That leaves us with a big problem. Last week, I took my wife to the grocery store, and I was hurting. I don't know if most of you know this, but it's been very difficult. There's times that just walking up the steps, I got to stop for about 2-3 minutes and just allow everything to catch up. And it's just been one of those things. And last Monday, it was one of those days that was just, I don't know, a little bit more difficult. And she went to get groceries, and I did the spiritual thing. I stayed in the car. Gentlemen, it's spiritual because it really eliminates a lot of arguments. Why aren't you buying this? It's cheaper. You know, and why are we buying 3 cans of this? It's only just you and I. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. And so Quentin, listen to me. Stay in the car. Stay home, whatever. And so I'm sitting in the car, and one of the neat things that you can do in a car, one is you can sleep. You know, and there's times when that's very important, amen? But it was morning. I hadn't been up that long, so sleep, that wasn't the thing. And so I pulled out my phone, which has a Bible on it, and I began to read, and I was reading the Bible, and so after a while, she comes, and I want to be a little bit gentlemanly, and so I get out of the car, and I go to the back, and she's pulled the cart up, and has opened the back door on the van, and I help put a few sacks of groceries in, and where I was at. And she'd done the whole thing, you know, she got some bad feet, and she went and got in the car, and all I had to do was just put the cart away. Well, to put the cart away meant to go over on her side and go up to the front of the car. And I thought, I don't think I can do this, or I don't really want to, because then I'll have to sit in the car for 5 minutes and chit-chat while I get caught up. And so I did the real spiritual thing. I just took the cart and I put the front wheels up. If you've been over to Hy-Vee, there's that, you know, if you got one of those stickers like we got, you know, that has a wheelchair on it, you know, you can park there where you don't have to walk as far. Some places you got to park as far as the farthest parking lot is here to get, anyway. I was sitting there and they got the rock there. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to put the front wheels up on here, and those back wheels, I thought about putting it up on the thing, too. People at Hy-Vee loved me on that day, I'm sure. And so I left it, you know, and the back wheels are just right there on the curb, but right in the gutter-like thing. And a real nice lady pulled up, rolled down her window to tell me how dirty rotten I was for just putting the cart there like that. She says, there's a place over there for the cart. And I said, lady, I can't do it. And she said a few things that I don't think it'd probably be proper to repeat here about how disgusting I was, and I was very capable of doing that thing and so forth. I tell you that to say this. She didn't know what was going on the inside. She couldn't see the shape of my heart. She could not see the pain feeling at that moment. For simply taking a few sacks out of the back of the car and putting it in and placing it. With everything I have learned of the ticker, the thing that's inside the chest, there's a spiritual application. God speaks of the heart very often in the Word of God. I look back, I was 6 years old, developed with a disease called rheumatic fever. I'm not sure it's a disease, it was a fever anyway. And by the way, it's something that too many rounds of it with certain types of, what are all these kids getting here lately? Strep throat. You can develop rheumatic fever. And I got rheumatic fever. I was 6 years old. And as a result of that, it had done some damage to the valves of my heart. It's interesting because we learn from the Word of God that we are born in sin. We are born with a sin nature. You don't have to teach your children how to sin. You don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to steal. Matter of fact, you do everything you can to teach them, because all of those things come very naturally to us because we're born with a sin nature. That's what it means to be born in sin. In our youth, it begins to work itself out. By the time I was 50, having palpitations, which is simply irregular heart. So I go to the doctor and they do some tests, and they discover at that time from my history and from what they did that indeed I had a couple of valves, one of them particularly that was very misshapen. And simply stated, what that does is it does not allow the blood to flow as it should throughout your body, because heart pushes or contracts to push the blood out. What keeps that blood from coming back in is that valve that stops that. Well, if it's misshapen, that blood flows backwards, so you don't get as much pressure going out as you should. It doesn't get to where it should as well. It ought to. Matter of fact, it doesn't even feed itself the way that it should. As a result of that, it also led to another thing that is somewhat hereditary, and that is a thickening of the heart wall. And that restriction even more so. Up until now, medication used to try to help in that, and the last thing they were giving me, some things that dilated the veins so they'd be great big. Well, not that big, but so that blood could flow more easily, but really didn't. And so we're at the point that something needs to be done. All mankind, seriously, has the same problem spiritually. And we need the great surgeon to fix it for us. We have heart problem. It's there. There is absolutely no hope of my heart repairing itself. Neither is there any hope for you and I to have some kind of reparations from ourselves that's going to heal our sinful hearts. There must be a point in your life where you come and you consent to allow the great surgeon to fix it. In the Word of God, there's a guy by the name of Nabal. Nabal, the Bible tells us, his heart quit because it got hard. I think he had the problem I have. And it became like a stone. And basically, that is a great picture of what will take place in our life if we do not consent to God to take care of our heart. as we give it to Him. In 2 days, about this time, I will be laying on a table, Lord willing, and surgeon open up, and He will hold my heart in His hands. You say you trust Him? I have been referred to Him by a man that I have trusted my life with for the last several years. And upon His word, and then after meeting Him myself, yes, I am putting my life into the hands of this physician. But may I remind you, 51 years ago, I did the exact same thing when I put my life into the hands of Jesus Christ. And I realized that I had a need, like all of us, so, so vividly. There's a question at the end of Jeremiah 17. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And he says this, who can know it? Who can know it? I'd like for us to stop and think about that this morning. If you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, you've given your heart to Him, there are times when you look and you think, man, how could have I done something so stupid? How could this have taken place? And sometimes we look at others and wonder how these things take place. But I want us to stop and consider those four words, who can know it? Though this verse shares the depth of the depravity of our hearts, it helps us to try to realize just how wicked each and every one of us is and the potential that we have. You know, every one of us have the potential to be an Adolf Hitler. I mean, quite frankly, you say, well, that, no, I don't. Yes, we do. Let me ask you a question. How many have ever looked at somebody and maybe even said it, I'd like to kill you? Have you? Boy, you folks are pious this morning. Yeah, you have. We've done that. You know, God tells us in the chapter 5 through 7 of the book of Matthew, sometimes called the Sermon on the Mount, He tells us there that if we look on somebody with hatred in our heart, it's the same thing as killing them. See? So we're no different. We're no different at all. And we have that within us. It's there. It's innate. We are born in sin. We understand that. We have the potential to do horrendous things. But I find something from the Word of God that's intriguing. Though the Bible says who can know it, yet I find something in the Word of God that teaches me something that I believe we can know some things about our own heart. Let me read a verse to you. Found in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. You know this verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And listen to this. As the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what, brother? Heart. The Word of God can teach us about our own hearts. And so I come to some spots in the Word of God and I think, my goodness, if I would just listen to what God says, He's telling me that I can begin to understand my heart. For instance, if you're still in Matthew, you might turn a page or two and you find chapter number 6, verse 21, an interesting verse. And in chapter 6, verse 21, it says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Interesting verse. For years, I read that verse just like it's stated, but in my mind, I was thinking, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. That's not what it says. Are words important? Yes. And He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I began to think about that, and I thought, you know what? If I would just stop and examine my treasures, I might begin to understand my heart a little bit. Now, I know in America, we use the word treasure. We think of dollar bills and all that sort of thing. But treasures are a whole lot more than just finances. Families, are they important? Oh, thank God for families. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my church family. But think about it for a moment. Is there something worth more to you than your family? If we get downright honest about it, there are times there are things that are worth more than our family. Is God worth a great deal to you? Oh, yeah. But there are times when there are things that keep us from God. Interesting, isn't it? Keep it from God's family. Wow. Interesting as we stop and think about some of these things. I think there are some questions we think about this that we ought to maybe ask ourselves. And as we look to the Word of God, we can see some things. In book of Mark, chapter 6, 52, it says, "For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." You see, what are you trying to say there, Bridget? Well, hey, listen, God had just performed some things, and now they're not thinking about those things. In chapter 8 of Luke, he says, "But out on the good ground are they which in the honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Here's some people who were thinking about some things that were physical, but putting them in a spiritual realm. The other, they were not taking spiritual truth out of that which was physical. In other words, we ought to ask ourselves some questions about our hearts. Do our hearts think in terms of spiritual things? Or is it always physical? The things around about us and we gather spiritual lessons from them. Where's our heart in these kinds of things? Do we have a spiritual, or is it one that's just solely concerned about, you know, putting bread on the table and having fun? Give you another thought for a moment. In the book of Matthew again, or Mark, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 5 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept." He's talking about marriage here, and he's talking about divorce specifically. And many times we do not stop and see the significance and the permanence that God has placed upon marriage. And God said, hey, in the beginning he made male and female. But then he said, because of the hardness of our hearts, he allowed this thing to take place. And oftentimes we get hardened hearts and do not allow God to soften us in some very important areas. So we stop and think about that. Bible talks about a woman who was listening to some preaching. It says a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended the things which were spoken of Paul. And she listened and allowed God to open her heart. Do we allow God to open our hearts? Or do we close him off? Important questions. The only way this heart's going to be fixed that it gets in the surgeon's hands. And the only way that your heart's going to get fixed is to get into the great surgeon's hands as you give it to him. Tuesday morning they'll bring me a sheet of paper. And on that sheet of paper will be what they call a consent form. If it's like what I've signed in the past, there are places I put my initials and in another place I put my signature. And it's saying to them, yes, I understand this, and yes, you can do what you need to do. They'll probably ask me, to be kind of foolish not to when you're getting your heart operated on, would you take blood? Because there's some folks who will not do that. And so I have a decision to make, and that I know what it is, and that is to say yes. I give you my consent. Again, February 21st, 1966, I gave my consent to Jesus Christ. Wicked heart. But God touched it. God showed me a need down inside of who I was and what I needed. Are we willing to look at our heart? Are we willing to allow God to show us, to examine it and see, is it that which has anything to do with the spiritual, or is it all about this physical world? Second thing I would say to you as I look at another scripture is, how can I know my heart? Well, how about listening to what you say? In the book of Matthew 12:34, well, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How many have ever heard of Dr. Laura? Some of you have. I don't even know if she's on the radio anymore. You had a talk program. People call in and tell her all their problems. And I was always amazed at how she answered them. And a lot of times they would want some advice on something. They want to know this or that. You know, it was personal type things. And she would jump on something. I think, man, that ain't what they said. But then I began to realize what she was doing. Because almost always they said was what was wrong. Those words and listened to them and really took it back to them. If you and I would really stop and look and examine our speech, it'd be interesting. Could I say today that a loose tongue might be revealing a loose life? Could we say today that because we use a few religious platitudes that they don't count against the wealth of wrathful words that come out of our lips? In fact, Jesus spoke of that. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and the list goes on. Please stop and listen to what we say. What is it we talk about? Seriously. We proclaim it to be God's people, and we say, boy, I love the Lord, and yet we never talk about Him, even when we're with God's people. It'll reveal something about our speech, should it not? Or about our life from our speech. It ought to make us stop and inspect and say, hey, I can know my heart because God said that the words that come out of my mouth show what's coming out of my heart. Another area I'd look at. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes to these people and he says this, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You know what he's saying to the Corinthian people? He's saying to these people, he's saying, listen, we preach the gospel, you received that, and it shows up. It's a part of your life. Now, he's writing this to a group of Christians that weren't exactly the great model of Christianity in their day, but at the same time, he says, hey, there's some things that are different. It's been written in your heart. There's something different about you. Are we willing to stop and look at our life and to read it and to see where we're at? Again, the only way that we can really get our hearts in the right direction is to let God do it. You've heard this preacher, you've heard other preachers say you need to get your heart right with God, and many times that's directed right at God's people. What's the problem? Well, it's desperately wicked. We've not allowed the hands of the great physician to do what he needs to do. I've teased about this a little bit, but one of the problems with my heart is I have a wall. I said to my doctor, in other words, I have a hardened heart. I said, that's very picturesque of what the Bible says about a hard heart. He said, well, it's not a hard heart. I said, yeah, that's what it is. And one of the things they're going to try to do, this is amazing to me, they're going to try to cut off some of that hardness. So I'm going to have a softened pig's heart. He has refused to call it pig. He's been calling it tissue, so I don't know what it is, but anyways. By the way, to the ladies' class that brought me my package today, and you had a nice little stuffed animal, and I pulled out, what are you giving me a stuffed animal for? And it's a pig. Somehow I got the idea that it might not have been the class's idea. It might have been leadership in the class that did that. Wouldn't throw any stones with the way it is. But read our lives, amen? There's something interesting about our lives. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. He says against such there is no law. God didn't write any laws against those things. Why? Because those are good and right. But we also find that they are something only the Spirit of God really puts into our life. The one that initially hit me the most was peace. The peace that God brought to my heart when I got saved. Wow. And He works this fruit. It's called fruit. How do you get fruit? In my backyard is a couple of apple trees. If you're going to have fruit on an apple tree, you got to have what? An apple tree. Apple trees have to have roots. Roots have to go down in the ground. They have to pull up soil. You know, I was going to say pull up soil. We leave the soil down there, but it pulls the stuff up out of the soil. You know the story. And pulls the minerals out in the water and through a thing called papillary properties within those veins of the tree, that water goes up. By the way, do you know trees don't suck water up? Yeah. There's only one thing that has this kind of property. It's called water. You get the tube small enough, water will go up. Even when water outside's frozen. It's amazing. Do we have a God or not? Wow. And that all goes up there. And, you know, the leaves come out. And after a while, those blossoms, they come forth and those blossoms turn into little apples, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow. And what's neat, just about the time you're going to go out to pick them, the squirrel's already got them. You ever notice squirrels like take only one bite out of an apple? And so there we have that fruit. Look at the fruit in your life. Do you have those things in your life? Maybe you need to go back to the surgeon. Oh, you don't need to be saved again. You need God to soften your heart up and do some work. He's the only one who can do it. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it. There's not a one of you that I'm even going to let open my chest up. Matter of fact, I'm thinking very seriously because I got some hair on my chest. I'm shaving it myself because I don't think I want those nurses to go... But I'm not messing with the rest of it. I leave that to the surgeon. He knows what he's doing. And by the way, I have left my spiritual heart with the surgeon because he knows what he's doing. There's been a few times I've pulled that out of his hands. And had to give it back to him. But thank God, he's always ready to fix it. Always. Amen. Father, today, work in our hearts. Lord, we realize today in the bosom of our being is that which is the real self that you describe as the heart. The features are so similar to the organ that beats within our chest. The application is so very real. Oh God, help us to see that. Oh God, help us to be willing to sign that consent form to allow you to change it. We've tried. We've tried all kinds of things. Exercise didn't work. Medications didn't work. And only the hands of the surgeon can fix it now. Only your hands can fix what needs to be done in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would somehow touch us to where we'd be willing to say, yes, Lord, you can have it. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at, please. We call this moment invitation. It's what's really heavy in my life right now. You know, if your heart is not right with God, you know Him as your Savior, but things are just not right. You need to let Him do that operation on your life. Let Him do that. Say, how do I do that, preacher? Well, you need to go to Him. We call this invitation. You can do that in your seat. You can walk down this aisle. A lot of times we walk down here. It kind of makes it a little more real in our lives for some reason. You can bend your knee up here, bow down, and just ask God to do that work. You might want to say, preacher, I'd love to have somebody pray with me. Well, grab somebody or stop here and I'll get somebody. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord to begin with. And you know that's what you need to do. Do the same thing. I would prefer, if you would, if that be your case, you come right here to me. And let me help you with that. While she plays this morning, let God have His way.